The Castle Bruce allegations. This is the one with Yvette Ladat and Jeff Commons and Glenn Darrow and so on and so forth. I find that these allegations come so close to the sort of pleading that is required to prove bribery. The pleadings fail nonetheless because they lack any details to show that the payments in question were in furtherance of an act of bribery. The only material that is pleaded in paragraph 33 of the petition is that Yvette Laurent gave Jefferson Commons $300 at Tantra in Castle Bruce. A conclusion is therefore stated that the payment was a bribe. This is not sufficient. The nature of the corrupt bargain must be indicated. Halsbury's above offers the advice that the level of specificity demanded in cases of alleged bribery may, for instance, obviate misunderstanding about the purpose of a payment. In other words, the pleading must outline the prohibited conduct with clarity, and it must not be merely presumed from language suggesting activities that may be colorable or questionable. The allegation that Miss Laurent handed a bottle with some rum in it to Jefferson Commons is outlandish and lacks any basis for even drawing an inference that elections official offense of bribery was contemplated or at worst committed by Miss Alfred or her agent. I would add, in agreement with the applicants, that there is no material in the paragraph that indicates that Miss Laurent was the agent of or acted on the instructions of Miss Alfred. Yes? It must always be recalled. Sorry, and I said yes. Again, it is not sufficient to plead material from which an adverse inference is to be speculated or assumed. It must always be recalled that on elections petition, the court will be cautious that it does not set about upending the will of the electorate. This is not its mandate on an elections petition. The converse is the position. The exercise in these cases is to ensure that the will of the electorate has in fact been duly reflected. The court will therefore insist that those invoke its jurisdiction to complain that the will of the voters has not been reflected, present pleadings that plainly indicate that this is indeed the case. The court will not allow pleadings to proceed that are merely speculative or for which the respondents or the court are to make assumptions as to the cause of actions or the effects on the exercise of the voters' franchise. On this basis, I strike out paragraph 33 of the petition in its entirety. The allegations in paragraph 34 of the petition also suffer the same fate. I'm of the view that the only material fact that has been pleaded by Ms. Joffin are that John Ladat received $20 from Glenn Darrow, an agent of Miss Alfred. The remainder of the pleadings ask the respondent to draw inferences and to speculate that the alleged act was a bribe. The allegations do not disclose the nature and character of alleged bribe. There's no material to indicate that the money allegedly paid was for anything other than the corrupt act of inducing a person to vote or refrain from voting for Miss Alfred or voting at all. The conclusive assertion that it was a bribe to vote for Miss Alfred is not adequate. The paragraph suffers from a lack of detail regarding the basis for claiming that Glenn Darrow acted as an agent for Miss Albert at the material time. I strike out paragraph 34. The allegations in paragraph 35 are nothing more than bald assertions. Paragraph is partly devoid of material facts or particulars that establish the offense of bribery. There are no particulars of name of electors or persons who are induced, dates and times of each act of bribery, the nature and description of each act of bribery. Therefore, I strike out paragraph 35 of the petition in its entirety. Complaints of voting irregularities and objections in the La Plaine constituency. At paragraph 27 of the bullet point petition, Ms. Francesca Joseph exhibits the name of 488 persons who are registered as electors on Elections Day and were allowed to vote. Ms. Joseph pleads that these persons were unqualified to be registered because they were either deceased or resided out of Dominica for more than 5 years. The petitioners do not plead that they objected to the registration of these persons before Election Day. Our jurisprudence emphasizes that electoral registers are conclusive as to the qualification of the persons named thereon to vote at the polls. Electoral officials cannot turn them away from voting. The law is that, except in limited instances, petitioners are not permitted to go to the polls on a list and then complain about it on an elections petition. In Radix versus Gary, Davis J. expresses view on the matter, and I set out the view that the validity of the list is a separate issue, and so on. Right. In Foran and Frampton, the court disagreed with the petitioners. They agree that the petitioners can, without more, question acts or omissions in the registration process on elections petition. The court expressed the view, and I set out the court's position. But what's important in this court is the fact that His Lordship underscored that in Dominica, once the final register is settled and proclaimed, electoral officials are not permitted to deny a ballot to any person who presents himself or herself at the polls and whose name appears on the register. If there is an objection at the poll to an elector who is registered on the final register, Section 39 of the Elections Act provides a method by which the presiding officer may register the objection and decide on questions that arise thereon. The official is obliged to permit the elector to vote. Such objection or the decision made thereon on could no doubt be brought to court if there's a disputed election. However, the petitions do not contain any complaints that are related to this. The foregoing is precisely the point. Once registered or finalized, there ought to be very little complaint thereafter about the process of finalizing the register or the list. Indeed, Rawlings J. alluded to such limited circumstances in Foran and Frampton, where he highlighted the sort of irregularity that may be raised about the conduct of Rawlings J. alluded to such limited circumstances in Foran and Frampton, where he highlighted the sort of irregularity that may be raised on an elections petition about the conduct of electoral officials in finalizing the register for elections. A graphic example of the sort of action that may be impugned occurred in Mark Brantley, where the court found deliberate and flagrant violations of the process to hear and determine objections, including steps calculated to undermine the right of objectors to be heard. The court also found certain electoral officials carried out their functions with obvious bias. There is no such allegation of any bad faith or wanton disregard for the process or of voters' rights. There's a patent lack of any material that would oblige a court to investigate the populating of the registers used on polling day. Further, compounding the foregoing difficulties confronted the pleadings is the fact that on election day, the candidates and their agents could ask that an elector take certain steps, including an oath. There's no pleading that they did so or that the election officials failed in their duty to administer an oath. When the process of voting is concluded, the candidates and their agents are permitted to object to the polls. The petitioners do not plead that they objected at the counts and or that electoral officials refused or omitted to record or determine their objections. In a word, the pleadings do not expose what, if any, electoral offense, irregularity, or other misstep may have occurred, and a manner which, an extent to which the irregularity, offense, or misstep affected the election. There's plainly no cause of action apparent or otherwise. The paragraph is therefore struck out. In paragraph 28, Ms. Joseph alleges that her agents objected to Vina George and Arnold George voting on the basis that they had already voted in the election. However, she alleges both individuals are allowed to vote upon taking an oath despite the objection. In paragraph 29, there was also an allegation that a blind and incapacitated person, John Frank Stedman, was unlawfully prevented from voting despite him specifically requesting the assistance of Anthony Atador, Justice of the Peace. I strike out both pleadings on the basis of the reasoning above, and also because, even if true, and the court hearing the petition awards the votes to Ms. Joseph, the election results will not be affected or overturned. In other words, the pleadings do not expose electoral offense, irregularities, or departures that affected the result of the election, or in it such that the ordinary man will condemn the process as a sham or no electing at all. At paragraph 31, Ms. Joseph alleges that on election day, her agent objected to Natalie Joseph and Dagmar Henderson voting on the basis that they were corruptly treated with a ticket to travel to Dominica to vote for the DLP. Their pleadings are struck out as there is no material included of any of the requisites of the offense of treating as discussed above. In any event, electoral officials had no choice but to allow duly registered persons to vote. There's no pleading as to what law permitted of polling officials to refuse a ballot to an elector where Ms. Joseph or her agents objected to voting on the grounds of treating. Further, even if this offense was properly pleaded, the petition does not establish how the irregularity or offense in question would have affected the result of the election in that constituency or rendered the same a sham. The pleading is therefore struck out. Bozo Central, objections and irregularities. The petitioners allege that on 14 November 2019, Atalie Robinson filed objections against the inclusion of four names in the supplemental register. Petitioners also allege that on 14 November 2019, Onika Maloon objected to the inclusion of five names on the supplemental register. Further, petitioners allege that several persons falsely and voluntarily claimed the right to vote, and the agents at the polling station objected to these persons. The claim that Onika Maloon and Atalie Robinson objected to nine persons, even if true, and those votes are awarded to Mr. Coffey, does not amount to the type of departure sufficient to overturn the results at the poll in favor of Mrs. Correct. The pleadings cannot survive and are accordingly struck out. At paragraph 29, they plead several persons presented themselves falsely and fraudulently to vote. The agents allowed those persons to vote.